Welcome to the podcast. It's the podcast where we do a podcast. Also, it's called Telling the Tale. We do a little reviewy type thing of every single Telltale video game. I lost the thread entirely, Dustin. I'm here with Dustin.
That's okay.
I'm Mitchell. Hey, Dustin. How's it going?
Hello. Oh, I'm doing great, Mitchell. I'm a rough and tumbler.
You would really, really, really expect that after over 100 episodes of this fucking show, I would have some semblance of muscle memory. I really have to think about it every time.
I think it's fine. I think it's cool that it keeps the listeners on their toes.
Yeah, you're getting fresh content. There's no reusing of vibes around here. We're putting it all on the line, every line.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Line is a unit of podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that's what lines were made for.
So, Dustin, we're in the home stretch. We're working on the first episode of the second to last game we're going to cover. Unless Wolf Among Us 2 comes out soon.
Right.
Yeah. I do want to ask you a lot of preliminary questions about how you feel about this thing before we actually talk about the game itself. But just okay. For the audience's edification here, we're going to be talking about Hector Badge of Carnage, Episode 1, We Negotiate with Terrorists. It was originally released only on iPhone at first, on June 2nd, 2010. It was then in 2011, re-released with a PC port and the two subsequent episodes. It was directed by Dean Burke and Kevin Beemers. If you don't remember their names from other Telltale episodes, that's because they aren't part of Telltale. They're part of an Irish group, actually. One of the few Irish video game studios. In fact, they're not really a video game studio. They're actually an animation studio, first and foremost, called Strand Looper.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Hector, the concept of Hector and the world of Hector was created by Dean Burke at Strand Looper maybe a year or two before the game came out as like a short animation that I linked it to you before. It's just like Hector interrogating a guy for a heinous crime, and then it turns out he had the wrong guy and he just like traumatized this guy he was interrogating.
And pretty funny stuff.
Pretty funny stuff. And that just became the blueprint for this world that I guess Strand Looper really got into. They've since Hector been making this kids cartoon in Ireland that has been still going. I think like it's
oh, what is it?
Oh, you caught me. I don't remember. let me find it. Okay, that is worth bringing up. You're right. Lifeboat Luke is what it's called.
Lifeboat Luke. I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah. Lifeboat Luke is the first 52-part animation series to be originated and produced in Northern Ireland. What a collection of just qualifications onto that sentence. It's the first 52-part children's series in Northern Ireland.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah, I can kind of see it doesn't look identical to Hector or anything, but I can see some small similarities.
Yeah, Lifeboat Luke is very much opposed to Hector in tone. It's aimed at 4 to 7-year-old children, which if you've played Hector Badge of Carnage, you'll know is crazy. that's wild.
Yeah. It doesn't look bad. Doesn't look like the kind of thing I would watch, but like, there's some artistry to it, I guess.
I don't watch most things aimed at 4 to 7-year-olds.
Yeah,
seven, exactly. The max is tough to get into.
Right, but like a lot of shows for little kids, they don't really care about how it looks, and this one doesn't look bad.
No, yeah, this seems like a collection of people who are like animators for animators kinds of people.
Right.
They can tell that in the game too. They really do care about the craft of animation.
I mean, I think.
That is maybe the compliment that we have for it.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the nice thing I'll say about this game. It looks pretty good. I think the, like, art style for it, it's not, like, blowing me away or anything, but, like, it looks nice enough.
It's an art style that I think, and listener at home, if you haven't seen this game, you should, like, Google a couple screenshots. It's an art style that I feel used to be pretty popular on the internet. Especially
big,
in the
thick
time
outlines,
of, like, flash animation.
Simple shapes.
Yeah, yeah. Thick lines, like, flash animations, almost a Newgroundsy kind of look. I mean, certain kinds of Newgrounds.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And the tone of the game was also very popular on the internet. And I think lies somewhere in between South Park-ish and, like, Happy Tree Friends. Remember Happy Tree Friends?
Oh, I remember Happy Tree Friends, all right. Remember the animal, they die funny.
Yeah, they do die funny. And then sometimes their bodies, even after death, they die harder. I think that's what the movie Die Hard is about. This was a time where, like, I'm not going to lie, middle school me around that time, very aligned with this sense of humor.
I mean, you know, I loved South Park. I loved stuff like that, stuff that put, I was like, whoa, can you believe they say that?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, even with South Park, I think that South Park has a quality to its writing and production that I think transcends some of that internet angst.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not that I really still fuck with South Park that much, but it was understandable. This sort of stuff, man, like, oh man, it was painful. It was really painful to play it this time around. It was painful to play it the first time around and when I was in high school. So really, like, they were a couple years too late for me, I think.
It's not very good, is it?
It's important to, I think, divorce the intention from the execution here. Execution, okay. It seems fine. You know, like, it's professionally made, especially for a very small independent team at the time in 2010. It looks as professional as, like, any other point-and-click adventure.
Yeah, it looks nice. It functions well. I didn't have any, like, glitches or anything. Like, it's a competent enough little game.
Yeah, in terms of the drawing, the moving of things in the animation, pretty good. I do not like it.
It's the tone. Yeah. It's the tone of the world, the tone of the characters. It's I believe you used the word unpleasant.
It's very unpleasant. I've also used the words gross, cynical.
Cynical is yes, very good word for it.
Yeah, I'll get down with sad media sometimes. I have nothing against that. I like some pessimistic media sometimes. This is, like, the least attractive personality you could have as a video game.
I think so too. It really didn't do much for me. I don't know what else I can even say. It's just very, it's grungy. It's just no one is nice. No, well, there's some nice characters
it
in there, but it's
so
not a nice place to be.
Of humanity.
Yeah.
In a disgusting way.
It doesn't do anything to, like, make it good. It just says, doesn't everything suck? Ha, funny.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm talking to a punk teenager and I'm their granddad being like, oh, just buck up, you know? Like,
stupid.
I can't get down with how punk these guys are being. I feel lame having to come in and say I hate this shit. But I really hate
right.
this shit.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only ever played a little bit of this in the past, so I was not super, like, aware of the tone and just how the world is in this game. If I did, I probably wouldn't have suggested we include it in our Telltale podcast.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's one of those ideas I didn't want to do it either, but So here's the history with the development of this game. Strandlooper put out this first episode and then talked to Telltale and was like, hey, would you be interested in publishing it if we brought it to more platforms? And Telltale looked at it and said, we love it. why don't you finish the story, make the two more episodes, and even with those episodes, we'll help you make it. And that to me elevates it from some of the other things they just published it's still mostly them publishing someone else's work, but they were more involved with this.
Yeah.
To my understanding.
So it counts.
Yeah, especially the next two episodes. Yeah, so we're counting it. It's on the list. It's kind of a gray area of whether we had to or not, but
we're here.
The more I thought about it, the more it would just feel like an incomplete area of Telltale's history.
Yeah.
If we didn't cover it, because we're going to do everything else. We're going to do everything.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. And, you know, it would be one thing if this game was just like a total mess. Like, I wouldn't care that much if we didn't do it, but like I said, it's not like it's functional as a point-and-click game. It looks nice enough. Even with how cynical it is, it's not like some dumpster fire game or anything.
No, yeah, it's really not in terms of being put together. It's just a disgusting,
not appealing to
unfortunate,
us.
Unappealing thing.
Yeah, it doesn't appeal to us, we'll say.
Yeah, I remember when we were talking about this months ago, and the idea was first floated that we should play Hector for the podcast, I told you that my main memory of it from when I played the games, because I did play all three episodes before, my main memory of it was how gross it was and how unpleasant. And I think you heard that, because like I remember you reacting to that kind of like, oh, that's kind of funny. but now I hope that my feelings have been understood a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, totally. We're in the muck here together now.
Yeah, yeah. I really... It's... how many more ways can we say that, like, it's just a... just a shitty personality that you have to sit through for 2.5 hours per episode?
Yeah, I don't like any of the characters. I don't like this world. One of the first things you do in this game to kind of sum up its... what it's all about is you have to use a condom to fish something out of a toilet.
Yeah. I mean, if it was like that the whole time, I think that'd be like, at least there's some sort of juvenile humor to it.
Yeah.
It's physically gross, but whatever. And then like immediately after that, you go into, cause you're waking up in a jail cell cause you're a detective. You weren't arrested or anything. You're just hungover. And, you go into the main office of the police station on your way out. And you see this this guy who was arrested for something like a week ago, and he hasn't been processed. And eventually, you manage to take him with you, and you use him like an inventory item. And you do electrocute him to death in order to start your car. And there's just so many things like that. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
And there's so many things in the game that are like that. And like in between doing that, you also talk to some prostitutes who you belittle the existence of and call a bunch of names and talk about how disgusting they are, while also sort of hinting at the idea of like, okay, but yeah, Hector would also be down. He's just talking down to these people, even though he seems to want their clientele.
Right. Like, he thinks he's above them, but not too so much above them that he wouldn't go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's going out of his way in that case because clearly he does approve of the sex work there. He would, in fact, hire them for himself, but he's going out of his way to be negative because that's the thing that he cares about. And putting people down and making them feel bad about themselves. And that is the whole game.
Yeah. Hector is not a very fun, likable protagonist to play as. And I think part of what makes him not work for me is, yeah, he is a shitty guy. He's mean to everybody. He's, I don't want to say he's incompetent at his job, but kind of, right? Like, it seems like he just kind of stumbles into his work working out. But also it tries to play him off like he's the cool guy, too. Like, he has such an attitude putting people down. He's like, oh, this thing sucks. I am better than this.
Yeah.
And it just makes him not cool. Like, if it was completely self-deprecating, like, if everyone was like, oh, this Hector guy sucks, I hate this guy, that would be one thing. That would work as a character. But it feels like they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too. Where it's like, oh, this guy is comedically incompetent, but he's also Mr. Cool Guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like he's known as the cop on the force that gets results, I guess. Because
yeah.
When the plot of this episode is that there is a there's a gunman who's got a bunch of hostages in a building. And you need to work out what the gunman wants in order to free the hostages and get in the building.
I think that's a fair enough, like, easy setup for an episode. Just
yeah, like that could be here's the guy. That could be anything.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the villain. He wants these three puzzles you have to figure out. Do it and you win. Like, that's solid.
Yeah, and, like, there's a joke at the very beginning of the episode of the police chief sending in negotiator after negotiator, and then they say one word, and the gunman just shoots their head off, and then there's a pile of 12 dead negotiators, and the police chief says, like, oh, man, we're almost running out. And that's like, the joke about it. And then they call in Hector, and Hector's able to talk with the gunman. I guess, like, in theory, the idea is because the gunman is upset that everyone's so crass and rude. But
he's disillusioned with the town.
He's disillusioned with Clapper's Reek, which is the name of the town, and wants it to be nice again. And Hector can't, or Hector has the opportunity to, like, speak, I guess, better than any of the negotiators had at this point. And more politely, even though he's not polite at all.
Right, usually. Yeah.
So that's kind of like a weird character thing. Why is he able
yeah,
to do
it
this?
Feels... He's just a pretty undefined character.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, very much the case.
You know what's a way I could see this working is... and it kind of feels like they're going... It's what they're going for, but not really, is... So they say Hector is a cop that gets results... I think it would be funnier if you really played up that it just kind of happened. Like, this guy is, like, hilariously incompetent, clumsy, dumb, and then things just work out for him and everyone loves him for it. That would be a joke that would work.
Yeah.
But it seems like everything Hector's doing is, like, incompetence on purpose. Like, the puzzles, the problems he solves in this world, you know, it's not like something you're planning on doing. You just kind of stumble onto how to make it work. But then Hector plays it off like, yep, that's what I saved the day.
I would listen to you impersonate Hector for 2.5 hours before I would, like, choose to play another game in this series.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was great. I love that. yeah, so the gunman has three demands, and this is the bulk of the episode and what you spend your time doing. You need to fix the clock tower in the town. It's like a municipal monument, I guess.
Right.
It hasn't been working, and that just makes it feel like the town doesn't have anything going for it. You need to shut down the porn industry in the town, which is a pretty big part of the town's economy. So you need to shut that down because the gunman thinks very little of porn. And... you need to support this guy in the park who's working on a beautification project for Clapper's Reek, and he needs $25,000.
That's a lot of dollars.
It is a lot of dollars. I guess to make a whole city better, in a vague sense of what better is, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
Like, that should be what taxes are, at least.
True, true.
So those are the three things, and there it's very adventure gamey. It's very similar to like Secret of Monkey Island, where Guybrush needs to do the three tasks that make him a pirate at the Scum Bar. And that's the whole episode. Once you do those three things, you get let into the building where the gunman is, and you see that the gunman was never actually there and was just broadcasting his voice there remotely via a laptop and a remote-controlled sniper rifle. So
what a twist.
That is then the end of the episode. So that's the whole format there.
All right, let's get into our segments.
Okay. No. I mean, maybe.
I mean, what else is there to really say?
Yeah.
Puzzles, yeah. You do them.
Did you have a puzzle you liked, like on a gameplay level or anything?
I don't know. I mean, it just all kind of worked. Like, the point-and-click logic is there. I never felt, like, stumped or anything.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of like, there's these hooligans in the park. You give them breath mints because they're stupid and think they're drugs, and then they start raving. That was a kind of funny puzzle.
Yeah, that was good. There's a lot of the humor in this game is very referential, and that is weird considering it's an Irish, like, it's in Northern Ireland in 2010. So, like, okay, that a lot of those references age pretty fast.
Yeah.
but, like, one of the references I clocked was when he gave the breath mints to the hooligans at the park, he said, like, be careful, they're curiously strong. And then I looked at my Altoids container I keep by my desk, and it said curiously strong on there. And I felt like a Whoa. Smart cookie for getting the reference.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You got a reference in Hector Terrorist Game.
Yeah. Hector Terrorist Game is what we're going to be talking today on Telltale Man, the podcast.
I guess I can just go through my notes and see what stray thoughts I have. I wrote down Hector just thinks everyone smells bad. Like, in that opening scene before you get the car working, it seems like the only joke he has for the prostitutes and the drunk guy in the alley is, oh, this person smells not great.
Yeah. Yep.
I wrote down exactly the point where I thought, oh, this game really sucks. It's after you get the car working. And Hector says, that should have her running. Definitely a her. Only a female could make my life this miserable. That's when I wrote down, wow, this game is not very good.
It's like it's ticking boxes. It's like it has a checklist of just, like, what can we do?
Sexist.
Yeah, okay. Sexism, check.
They ableism. Weren't racist in this episode. I wonder if they'll get racist in episodes 2 or 3.
Were they not? I guess.
I don't think they were. I don't think there was any racial humor.
Yeah, you know, maybe that was the one they were like, okay, that's a real problem, but the other ones are fake pretend problems.
Yeah, well, prostitutes aren't real.
Prostitutes, yeah, I've heard of them.
We can look up what they are and then make funny jokes about them.
There is an aspect here of, like, it's Ireland firing across the channel at England, right? Like, that's
right.
Part of the humor here, because this is set in England, it's got English voice actors, and it's about Great Britain, and it's coming from an Irish perspective of Britain, which I think, given the history of what's gone down between those two countries, fair. Mm-hmm. It is North Ireland, which is part of the UK. I don't know if that affects anything. I don't know that much about the political aspects of Ireland, but, like, they're kind of like taking the piss out of their national rival, and in doing so, just making a game that, for someone in America that is, like, looking at both those countries as somewhat foreign to himself, I'm just looking at that and saying, wow, you made a game that is gross and it sucks to play.
Good job. It sucks
to exist in this space.
I'm glad I don't live here.
Yeah, my first note that I wrote down on the paper, like, I wasn't even trying to be redundant like this. I'm just realizing I was now. My first note is, Game, man. Not starting excited. Second note was, I hate this vibe a lot.
really doubling down.
Third note is, the voice acting for non-main characters is pretty roughly recorded.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, the recording quality of, like, the teenager who was arrested.
Yeah, it was very like below echoey. The quality of this podcast.
Yeah. Thank you. we're better at this.
Fourth comment was about something else. Fifth comment is just a gross, sad worldview.
Yeah.
Seventh comment is, haven't laughed yet into act two.
Haven't laughed yet. You know what? I feel like near the end, I got like at least a couple quotes that made me chuckle. So I can't say this game is like completely smileless.
It's a broken clock.
Mostly.
In a game about a broken clock.
Yeah. One line I wrote, even the lines I have are not like super funny. They just kind of made me chuckle. So, you know, the part with the guy, the clocksmith, he's trying to fix the clock tower. You ask him about the wars he was in. And at one point, Hector says, so after the war, how'd you end up here in this clock? And the clocksmith says, ah, tanks, clocks, they're all the same, really.
Yeah, I clocked that. That was good.
That was pretty good. Another one, both lines I wrote down had to do with the clock tower, weirdly enough. So you go up to the clock tower and you take his power drill. And, you know, Hector doesn't think he's going to need it. He says, I mean, really, a drill to fix a clock? He probably has a set of, like, really tiny hammers or something.
Yeah, that is good. I think I wasn't laughing even at the admittedly kind of good lines at that point because I was defeated.
You're put in such a bad mood in this.
Yeah, movie. I don't want to give it to him. Laughing at a joke is mostly a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are not jokes that rely on, oh, isn't this place and these people horrible? They're just, like, dumb little things to say.
Yeah.
So, I think that is the humor that works, even though it's pretty infrequent.
Yeah, so we were talking before about how it's a little befuddling that Telltale saw this and was like, oh, we have to get our hands on this.
We gotta make this happen.
Did you read the special thanks in the credits?
No, what did it say?
Guess who got special thanks for this game?
Who?
The company Apple.
I guess that makes sense since it was on iPhones first.
Steven Spielberg.
Huh.
Tim Schafer.
Okay.
What the fuck?
Maybe it's just because, you know, they were inspired by them, like inspired by Tim's old point-and-click games.
Yeah,
I can see giving him a special thanks for that.
Yeah, and Steven Spielberg?
I don't know. Maybe just inspired them to make something.
Maybe. I guess you can give special thanks just to anyone, but like normally it would be someone who makes sense for the project getting one.
Yeah. I mean, I think Tim Schafer makes sense. They're making a point and click, probably inspired by his point and clicks. Steven Spielberg is a bit more of a stretch, but yeah, I could see just putting people who made you want to make something in your special things.
I think sometimes, like, I would put a very impactful college professor I had on my special thanks for a game. But even if it were true, I would not put Miyamoto, you know, like there's a certain level of like, don't just do someone you don't actually know.
Yeah. Imagine if Shigeru Miyamoto got credited for Hector Badge of Carnage.
Yeah. Like, I guess you can.
He has to be like, whoa, 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 hold on. I did not have anything to do with this.
Yeah, that is kind of the risk that you take when you just credit random people with special thanks. Like, there is a cultural, unwritten rule about that. Like, you shouldn't just credit someone who's completely unrelated or you don't know or wouldn't know to find it here. Because, like, if Miyamoto was credited here, I'm going to assume there was some sort of, like, this team talked to Miyamoto at some point.
Yeah, he came up with the condom in the toilet puzzle.
Yeah, and I kind of do think that Steven Spielberg knows this studio now. Huh. Because of this special thanks, I think that it is an animation studio, so, like, he's done animation.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, they could have had some sort of relationship. And I saw some Telltale people in the special thanks as well. That makes more sense to me. But yeah, just a weird thing.
Yeah.
Another weird thing that I have, this is my favorite note that I took. sometimes Hector will say something with the delivery of it being a joke. But really is not. And I don't mean that in terms of me critiquing the comedy and saying, like, oh, this isn't funny when it should be.
Right, you're not being passive aggressive.
I'm saying
about
literally
it.
Not a joke. So, like, there's.
Right, but they just have him say it funny.
Yeah, at one point for one of the puzzles in the game, you paint a purse red because you need a red purse and it's not red.
Mm-hmm.
And when Hector does that, he says, ah, red, my favorite color. Not a joke. Like, that's not a joke. That's just a thing that he said. Like, he delivers
it. I guess it made
it.
Me laugh, but it's because I was waiting for more.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, I think he had a joke for me when I did that. I remembered him saying something. I remember him saying, like, it matches my bloodstained shoes.
Okay. I mean, that part is a joke, but he'll say just that on its own, too. Like, red, my favorite color. I wrote down, red is Hector's favorite color. Okay.
Cool. We know a little. I'm glad we're getting to know our good friend Hector today.
Yeah. Our mutual friend Jeff Onan has on many occasions expressed the opinion that if your favorite color is red, you're a psychopath. because no one's favorite color is just red. And Hector's is.
Yeah, so I guess we know what to think about him. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
You've warned us.
Should we talk about the R word?
Do they say it?
A lot.
Oh, yeah, they do. I forgot. I didn't write it any down.
Yeah, no, they really do. Robitussin.
Yeah.
Nah, just joking around. It's the bad one. It's the bad one.
Yeah, it's the not great one.
Yeah, so this is obviously a 2010 game, and I think in 2010 we were starting to come around with I mean, there might have been the opinion already that, like, hey, you probably should not say that word for just throwing it around.
Yeah, I mean, people were still saying, especially for things that were trying to be edgy like this.
Yeah. Well, especially when it's done in a way that is not, there's no humor on the commentary on using the word or anything like that.
Right.
It is just a non-ironic, straightforward use of the word in a lot of places. And I mean,
I remember it used once now, like when he's talking to the guy in front of the clock tower who's playing the drum.
Yeah. That joke in particular, I'm not even going to repeat the joke, but that one was like the hardest thud of a joke.
It's like, really? Game. You couldn't be more clever than that?
Yeah.
And this game's full of those. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah, but it was
that one in particular.
It was the metal slime of all of those jokes, just the worst. Again, when I put myself in the position of, like, when would I have found that funny? It's like, it's middle school. So I'm not saying I wasn't there, you know? I'm not trying to say I'm above this. But this game was made by adults. Like, I'm talking like you've got the opinions of a middle schooler. And not in a way that you've kept your childhood alive in a charming sort of Willy Wonka fashion. I'm saying you've really not developed anything by the time that you've made this game as adults. And
yeah, like, really? That's the punchline you're going for? And then you're just going to call it a day after that?
Yeah. I said that word, back in the day, you know?
I'm not going to pretend like I didn't.
Yeah, it had a different cultural expectation around it. It was for different people for different things. But it always meant like doing something silly or stupid to me in I don't think I've ever used the word as hatefully as this game does.
Yeah. Boy, this game likes to do that.
It really, really does.
And you know what? So this game was, this first episode was made before Telltale got involved, right? You said?
This, I think they were like sort of in the space of it, but episodes 2 and 3 were like co-developed in some fashion by Telltale. I think the Strandlooper people were still creatively at the forefront of it, though.
Right. I wonder if they had, like, any input on the writing in episodes 2 and 3. Like, any at all. If we're the ones publishing this, look, we're gonna let you handle most of it, but we are gonna do some touch-ups on the writing here and there. I wonder if we'll see any improvements going forward. Maybe it's just a rough start. Who knows?
If there is, I guess you would. I don't think it would be in this regard.
In the writing area?
There is an improvement to the writing, I don't think it would be most of the things that we've talked about. The hatefulness, right. The cynical nature of it all. That seems to be what drew Telltale to it, so I don't assume they have changed that.
You know what? Something I've been thinking of, just while, it never occurred to me while playing it, but just while we were discussing it here, it feels like Sam and Max is like a similar sort of vibe, just done much better, more inviting. Like, it's still like, oh, you're in a grubby, schlubby, bad city where the crime rate is high.
The people are generally bad and grifters and stuff. But yeah. Sam and Max is, while doing all of that, is somehow still so much more loving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. That's a new reason for me to appreciate Sam and Max, that they've managed to show the darkness of humanity and embrace it with a hug rather than what Hector's doing.
Yeah, instead of, this is so shitty, look at how shitty this is, and laugh.
Yeah.
In Sam and Max, it's like, you just think about like all the characters in town. All the characters you meet up with, what makes them so lovable?
Yeah.
Despite being so shitty.
Yeah,
like, that this game does not do.
Sybil is a con artist in a way. And Bosco is a fearful, paranoid, also a con artist.
Yeah, he's charging you for like billions of dollars.
But there's
for like the shittiest inventions.
Them. There's reasons.
Yeah, he's great. I love Bosco.
They're full people.
I love Sybil. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not
these
like
characters
they have
in
more,
Hector exist just for the joke.
And it's not like they have more runtime per episode or anything. They're able to do that with the same 2.5 hours or so of a point and click adventure game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's
Sam Max was good.
So one joke they have is that instead of a SWAT team, they have a twat team.
I wrote that down. I was like, funny.
Yeah, and
clever stuff.
It stands for Tactical Weapons and Tactics. I thought that's a good joke.
That's funny.
Me. That's funny.
That at least gives it some humor beyond just, oh, get it? It's called the twat team instead of the SWAT team. Funny.
Yeah.
That part is funny. I can get behind that.
And I think there's a lack of recognition in the game of, like, why making fun of that word is funny, and then why just using the R word as a punchline isn't. And it's I think it's the lack of understanding of the comparison there that really brings down the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what else can be said? I agree, it's bad. You're so right about that. There's another layer to that twat team joke that makes it funnier than just the obvious joke about it. I totally forgot that. I didn't even remember that until you brought it up. That is funnier. And then, yeah, just using the R word, it's like, that's the joke.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just the joke to say it as a funny word. It's like the joke to call someone that who's just out there, like the one happy person in Clapper's Reek, who's just sort of doing what they do, having a good time with it. Hector's like, oh, I hate you. Like, why are we going to fixate on this guy?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to do.
You know what? I feel like that would be another... I feel like this series would work a whole lot better if you focused on... his name's Lambert, right? His partner? That's like...
Oh, that's not the guy. It was the drummer guy that was...
Oh, I was talking about his partner. Or maybe not partner, but Lambert, who's there. And he's just kind of like, oh, we gotta save the day. We gotta do a good job or whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like if you, like, made him the playable character, and it puts this, like, smiley, like, guy who's, like, actually trying to do a nice job, and you put him in this cynical world, then that works. You got, like, a humorous contrast.
Yeah, and that is maybe a little bit of what Sam and Max is doing. They're not exactly like Lambert, but they kind of have that smile about themselves as they go around. They're smiling friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Anything else we got on this?
At the end of the credits, they say go to the hectorfiles.com/
Oh, yeah.
Clever Clogs for a free gift. Tried it. It's gone. I do remember doing this. I think it was like a wallpaper or something.
Oh, just what I wanted to have Hector's stupid face on my desktop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, let's go into our segments.
Okay, let's do that.
Weekly guy. Who's your weekly guy?
Boy, you know, Mitchell, it was tough to choose. They're all so lovable.
Mm-hmm.
I chose Lambert, I guess, because he's the only one who's not like a horrendous piece of shit.
Yeah, so mine was... Yeah, I think that's good. Mine was Filthy Rich.
Oh, yeah, I kind of liked him.
Yeah, so Filthy Rich...
He just seemed like a guy who was doing his job.
He's the proprietor of the porn store. And the thing is, like, you were trying to go in there, and you were like, okay, well, of course we can take them down on something. And then you find out that he's completely clean, and the business is just like, yeah, it's porn, but, like, it's
all above
board,
porn.
And we're actually providing a pretty good economic stimulus to the town that nothing else is, and... you know, people grew up here in this porn shop.
I raised my family in this porn shop, man.
So Filthy Rich is kind of like the only... I don't know. He seems to be doing a job that is both working, like he's competent at it, and in some ways beneficial. Now, it is admittedly porn.
Yeah.
But that's... That's sort of the...
No one's being hurt by it.
Yeah, that's where the floor is for this world. So,
yeah. Yeah, like, what makes a porn shop any worse than anywhere else in this game?
Yeah, I mean, in this game, it's kind of like a cultural... it's kind of like the old-fashioned idea of the barbershop being a refuge from...
Yeah.
Maybe, like, a rougher neighborhood. That's kind of the role this porn shop is serving in the town. And, of course, you tear it down because you can't have that.
No, we can't be having any of this. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I thought he was pretty good. You know what? I guess there's, like, a few people who aren't awful. Him, Lambert. There's the tourist rep in the park who just, like, actually wants to make the town better.
I don't feel good about. I don't know.
There's just something about him.
Something about him. Yeah, with Filthy Rich, he's also black. He's also very fat. He also seems to be mobily disabled in some way. He's riding a scooter.
Right.
And none of those are the joke. Which is...
No, that's just part of the character.
It's just a thing about this guy, Filthy Rich. And
what a good name, too.
Yeah, especially with the joke being like, oh, actually, he's clean. There's no corruption or embezzling or fraud or being below standards in the store or anything like that. It's just fine.
Yeah, you know what, Mitchell? I'm going to change mine to Filthy Rich, too. Lambert's, like, not even a character. He doesn't do anything in this episode. I just gave it to him because he was kind of nice. Filthy Rich seems like a character that works better.
Yeah, if my memory serves me, we do get more Lambert later in a more central role. So we'll see him.
Yeah, I'm not anti-Lambert, but he hasn't proven himself yet.
Yeah, maybe he'll get there. My golden moment is in the clock tower listening to the war stories of the clock keeper. And the
That's good. I like the he's the one with the jokes. Like, I got the most actual laughs out of this segment of the game.
It's I think it makes sense that that is true because it's the only time in the game where, like, I was confused about how to progress. I got a little adventure game stuck for a moment of, like, how to progress in that area. And I found out that talking to the clock keeper and just listening to his war stories until he was cool with me was the way to go forward. And that, I think, would have been more apparent in another kind of game. But for this game, I was like, well, Hector would normally, if I ask him about his war stories, Hector's going to make fun of him. And he
he's
doesn't.
Just going to be a dick.
Yeah, like, he, it's the, like, Hector's actually endeared to this guy for respecting what he went through in the war, and the guy is, like, actually getting something off of his chest and talking to Hector. It's a weirdly warm moment in a sea of ice cold water.
Yeah. I agree. My golden moment, and it was hard to pick because nothing really stood out that much. I originally wrote when it was over, but I decided not to. I guess I just kind of liked talking to this to the guy in the building, just using Hector to negotiate with him a little bit. It wasn't even, like, funny or that great. It just felt like, okay, Hector's, like, actually trying to do his job here. And, you know, your moment was better.
No, I like that one, too, because it's kind of a similar thing where
this guy, like, actually wants to make this town better. He's so disillusioned with this shithole town, as are we, the player. You can relate with him. You're like, oh, yeah, this place sucks. No wonder, man.
In another adventure game, especially Telltale's adventure games, you can keep getting unique dialogue. But, like, if you try the same tack in conversation again and again, you're not going to advance, you're not going to progress.
Yeah.
In this game, you actually do, like, have certain moments where asking a character once is like, no, I'm not going to do that for you. And then you ask them three times and they're like, okay, fine, you've made some good points, I'm going to do that for you. That is weird. Like, it was hard for me to grok on to that being how this game works, where you really do need to just keep talking to people to get everything out of them.
Because you're so not used to that working.
No, I'm so not used to that working. Like, if I ask for someone's hat and they go, like, I'm not just going to give this hat to you, I'm going to internalize that as they're not going to give that hat to me. But in a game like Hector, if you ask them three times, they'll be like, okay, fine. If I give you the hat, will you stop asking? And that's, like, how you solve that puzzle.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah.
It kind of goes against instincts of point and clicks.
It is admittedly giving you new dialogue each time, so it doesn't feel completely like you're repeating the same thing, but it does feel like you're trying the same approach when it hasn't worked before.
Right.
Yeah. Potent Pickup?
Yeah, the long-awaited return of Potent Pickups. We haven't done those in a long time.
Yeah, because this is a traditional point and click adventure game. So what was your favorite inventory? Sorry, there was a burp in there.
Oh, perfect for the Hector episode.
Yeah, do you want more? I don't have any.
No, thanks.
Yeah, okay, good.
The tasered youth, I'm going to say.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's mine too, because it's a
person. I thought that was just kind of a funny idea. You got to get this guy tasered by an old lady, and then you use him to charge a car battery.
Yeah, and he's not in your pocket or anything, but Hector does say to the guy, like, look, okay, I'm going to use you around.
Be on call.
I'm going to put you in my inventory. So be on, like, be ready.
Yeah. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. You do kill him by electrocuting him in the end in order to start your car, which is, I thought, just sort of gross. And
is he dead? Does it say he's dead?
Dude.
He only gets electrocuted by a taser.
No, he gets electrocuted by a taser, and then you throw his face into the engine and slam the hood.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And his whole body like is shocked until it's charred, and also you drive away with his neck still stuck like halfway in the thing, but his body's just flapping out as you drive away.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I guess I just wanted to have a little bit of hope in this cynical world.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was my fault. That was my bad.
Yeah. So those are our segments?
I think so. I think we're done talking about Hector for this week anyway.
We got two more weeks of it.
Look forward to that, everybody.
Yeah. You know, I think this is a game by primarily two people who made a game. And that is hard to do.
I think it's, like, it works. Like, I feel like there's been other projects that are only made by like one or two people that come out way worse. So I can give them that.
On a production level, great job.
Yeah. Looks nice. I don't recall any music.
Yeah, Kevin Beamers and Dean Burke. If you didn't have such a piss poor attitude, maybe we could have had some fun with it. But good game.
Guess you should have thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like very... that's maybe the meanest thing I've said about a game on this podcast, but I feel it a
lot.
Would
you put it at the bottom? Or I'm sure it's near the bottom of both of our lists, but like, what would you put it above so far?
Yeah, it's tough, because like, it's bad for different reasons. It's fine, and it's not long, and it... the puzzles at least mostly make sense logically.
Yeah.
So like in a play sort of way, the CSI games were way harder to get through.
Yeah. It feels like this game's bad for entirely different reasons than the other bad games we played on this show are.
Yeah. But like, as much as we didn't like the writing in New Tales from the Borderlands, I think this is worse. I think this is worse than that for sure.
I think I would agree with that. I feel like New Tales from the Borderlands just so rubbed me the wrong way because we played the first Tales from the Borderlands and it was so good.
Yeah, I guess there's no like good Hector material that we loved so much that this is betraying.
Yeah, it's not like they ruined anything.
I think just on what the game is, though, I have to put this below that. Yeah, and it would really just come down to like what this is a game that works and is a good like solid adventure game. The PS2 port of Three Dimensions of Murder that we played is so not that like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where to put it. I guess I mean I don't like hate the worldview of any other game that we've played this much. So I'd say this is my least favorite.
Wow, so you would say this is your least favorite of anything we've played. Not that it's the worst, just that it's your least favorite.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything that could compete, and I am coming up blank.
That's so interesting. I'm sorry for you, but I think that's a very interesting answer. I like that we talked about it.
Yeah, do you not agree? Like, what would you put below this?
I don't know. Well, like I said, I just like so hated everything about New Tales from the Borderlands just so rubbed me the wrong way. Like,
yeah,
just in terms of its narrative, its characters. And like I said, it's not like I'm being let down by anything in Hector. So I'm just here and I'm like, oh, this just like normally sucks. So it's hard for me to see. And like, I like how it looks. It's competent. I would say even New Tales from the Borderlands had, like, gameplay stuff I didn't like.
But it had some gameplay stuff I kind of liked. And it,
right.
The character of Octavio, like, I don't know. I still think that guy's fun to a point. But, yeah, I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to personally, I'm going to put it above New Tales from the Borderlands, because I totally get where you're coming from, but I think for me, New Tales just, like, so, like you for this, it just so rubbed me the wrong way that I just have to put it at the bottom. Even if it's not the worst game we've done so far, it just really made me like, ooh, I don't like you.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one, I'm just playing and I'm like, eh, this is shitty, but whatever, I'll get through it.
I think that that's a valid perspective. For
yeah, and I totally get yours too. I get like it just so being so miserable that you just have to put it at the bottom too.
There were times during New Tales from the Borderlands when I thought like, okay, is it going to turn around? And it doesn't by the end of the game. But there were moments of hope. And there were moments of like, yeah. Oh, well, this is a new kind of character we didn't see before. This is kind of something. And then yeah. I just never, yeah, like 100% of what this game is distasteful to me.
Yeah, maybe I'm being unfair because I think about stuff like Octavio and like, I forget his name. Who was the robot he was like friends with?
Oh, there's no way to know.
I kind of like their relation. Like, at least people are like friends in that world.
I'm gonna look it up. What's that guy's name?
Okay.
Was it like a code name, like numbers or something?
Maybe.
And
you know what? They had the characters at least had like problems you could get behind. Like, okay, yeah.
LOU13.
Yeah, that's right. Like he and Otto Octavio's. I almost called him Otto. Their relationship was pretty good. You can get behind what Octavio's all about, like where he's at in the world. Oh man, that's tough. I think I would put it like a half step above New Tales just for what I said before. But who knows, maybe that view will change as we progress through Hector.
Maybe
it'll really wear thin for me.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic, but well, you know, mostly because I have played through the full game, so I remember.
Right, you know.
Yeah. but yeah, I don't know. Why did I do that? I played through all three episodes.
I don't know.
You know,
that's a good question.
I think it was an indie game at a time in that 2008 to 2011-ish period. We were introduced to indie games in a mainstream kind of way, but also they were very uncommon still.
Yeah, this is not one of those bigger games being put out. It's a small point-and-click 2D adventure game.
Yeah.
So there was a novelty to it at the time.
I think that to me it felt like, oh, there's this new thing called an indie game, and maybe there's a certain number of them per year that you can play. And like now, if you said something like, have you played the new indie game? And like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like 400 have come out in the last month.
Yeah,
so.
You could not be more vague if you tried.
Yeah.
But with back then, it kind of was like, there's a small collection of independent games coming out in a way that make a splash like every year. Maybe you could play five of them and play like all the indie games that people talk about.
Yeah.
And this felt like one to me, even though I don't think it really pierced into any kind of mainstream that much. What really floors me though, is that if you go on Steam to the Hector Badge of Carnage page and you look at the like player reviews, people love it.
Do people love it?
People love it.
Hector really resonated with some people.
Yeah, let me, I'm going to pull it up right now. I want to look at it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's look at the store page. How do you look at the store page?
Because this is one of the Telltale games you can still buy.
Yeah, it's on Steam. They made sure.
They made sure to get that one.
Okay, hang on. This is good podcasts. I'm almost there. I'm on my way. Okay, customer reviews. There are 188 of them. And it's very positive.
Is there a percentage?
Is there a percentage on this? 91% of the reviews for this game are positive.
That's pretty high.
It's very high, right? Okay, yeah. I'm just going to read the first review here. This is from Stefne.
Okay.
It looks like maybe their name is Stephanie, but they've gone by Stefne on Steam.
Love it.
They open with a quote. If I could get off this thing, I'd come over, shake your hand, and say congratulations, your R word, Ed. And that's a quote from the game that they open with, and then they say more things. They say, there is no mistake that the humor in this game series is the highlight of the whole experience. It's a slightly darkish humor, but funny nonetheless, especially if you get the quirky little remarks and references only a fellow Brit would. Hector Badge of Carnage is a point-and-click adventure game set in a small, shitty British town that has been overrun by corruption and a lack of giving a toss, full of chavs, junkies, prozzies. I don't know what a prozzy is. And rather crappy coppers. You play as Hector, a questionable detective, who is going to help the town catch the bad guy and save the day, so he can indirectly help himself to probably go back to the pub or for a kip. Dialogue in this game is very amusing, at least it was to me. I would recommend the game for that alone. Characters are enjoyable most of the time. The main ones are lovable, the chav and junkie extras and whatnot, not so much. But they're written to be annoying, so good job, old bean. What I remember of the music wasn't bad. What I remember of the music wasn't bad. Didn't make me want to pull my hair out, so that's a good start. Graphics are nice. I enjoy classic point and clicks more so than newer ones, and this game is definitely one that should be on the list for anyone that likes the same. Literally, the only problem I had with this series is that I had a crash during the second episode. I lost no progress, but it was still slightly annoying. Apart from that and me having a slow start with it, probably the old point-and-click brain trying to boot up again, I haven't had a bad word to say about it. TLDR, great slash slightly dark British humor, amusing characters, nice graphics, and an all-around great little series. I recommend any point-and-click fan buys it.
You know what? I'm glad they enjoyed it.
66 people found that review helpful.
Wow. That's a lot.
I want to compare this to another positive review that is the second thing that you see here.
Okay.
Kevin Sloth wrote, fun game, back in the day.
Is that the whole review?
Yep.
Awesome. Good for him.
Fun game, back in the day.
Back in the day.
It's still positive, though, so I don't know if they're saying, like, it isn't now, or, like, that's just how it was.
Back in the day, it was great, but nowadays, it's even greater.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, this fucking game. I want to stop doing the podcast. How are you doing? You got anything else to say?
No, nope. All right. Nope, I sure don't.
Okay, we'll come back with you next week for part two of Hector, Badge of Carnage. And until next time, have a great summer.
I'm gonna get a pretzel.